but she's a little OCD.
So maybe
I'm a little OCD. I'm sorry.
Maybe the Giants' game plan looks similar to this.
You know what?
I've
seen Ben McAdoo's offensive card. Yeah. I think it does, actually.
It's going to have to look something like that, where they know what's on the paper and they have to definitely execute what's on that piece of paper, because they've got a team here that really goes into Pittsburgh last week and just gets the you-know-what knocked out of them. Now they're coming in with a little taste in their mouth to come into MetLife Stadium and play the Giants, who are off a bye, which could be good and bad. In this case, we hope the Giants it's good. But they are playing a Colts team that's pretty mad right now, and they have to button up a lot of things in both sides of the football and special teams, Anita, to get this game. They need to win. This next stretch of games they have is very, very difficult.
Yeah, what did Jerry Reese call it earlier this week? Murderers Row? Okay, we're talking about, of course, this game against the Colts at Seattle, against San Francisco, and, of course, against the Dallas Cowboys. Who knows how healthy Tony Romo will be at that point in time. He's dealing with some massive back issues. But let's break it down for everybody. This is a show for the fans, Big Blue Nation, so please feel free to call in the next hour, 201-939-4513 is the phone number, 201-939-4513. Also, I have my computer here. Why? Well, I'm monitoring Twitter. That's right. All things social media. This is 2014. Get with the program. Hopefully, you're following the Giants at Giants, and include that hashtag Giants Chat. That's how we're monitored. Did you know that? Giants Chat?
I know that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're chatting Giants.
We are.
So
that's exactly
it's Giants
what
chat.
We're doing.
So if you're dyslexic, put them back and forth. So there you go.
So include that hashtag Giants chat, and I will share your comments and, of course, your questions for myself and Feegs, because it's Feegs Friday.
We love Fridays.
How great is that? I'm so excited to host with
I'll
you.
I'll tell you what.
This
like Fridays. I've always loved Fridays.
Right.
Well, really, I never worked.
Who doesn't like Friday?
I never really worked.
It starts everybody's weekend, man.
Like a Monday through Friday job where I knew you kind of look forward to Fridays.
Never?
But, I did, but I didn't. But I loved Fridays when I was playing.
You just went out and you like punted 50 balls a day.
I just went out and kicked it. I didn't even
called
know.
Called it a day.
I didn't even know
That's
if I called
it.
That a job. It was so much fun to do. But, Fridays are great in NFL because it's a half day and you really get to go home and see your kids. And tonight, if you have kids,
it's Halloween.
It can't be a better night. Then Halloween when you have kids. I'm telling you.
You and I, we're such duds here. Why? We didn't even dress up. It's Halloween, man. I thought at least one of us would come in some kind of...
Well,
you actually look like
I have
Tom Coughlin here with the New York Giants, right?
No, so I need my hat.
Are you pretending to be a coach?
Like, where's the whistle? If I had a whistle on, okay, and some glasses, our eyes are close together, like him, both of us. But I think, Fridays are great in the NFL because, again, like today's Halloween, but, your preparation is done, and now you get a chance to go home and realize that you're going to be playing. But though this isn't really a Friday for the Giants because they're playing Monday night.
Exactly.
So it's really a Thursday. They get that one extra day coming off the bye, and they have to be able to go out on Monday night at home and do some things special. And I mean special is like, we heard from Jerry Reese. I think everybody that's a Giant fan's heard from Jerry Reese and in his mid-season press conference saying that we need to do this, we need to do that. We heard a little bit of DeMontre Moore. We heard a little bit of get the ball down the field.
I heard more aggressive.
And I heard more aggressive.
I heard more aggressive.
I think there was a lot
hashtag
of words.
Hashtag more aggressive.
More aggressive.
That's what I heard.
Hashtag Jerry Reese, more aggressive.
Yes, yes. So let's kind of break it down again. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat. Hit us up. We're going to get to your calls in a quick second. But let's talk about that. The fact that Jerry Reese addressed the media, he said he wants to see this offense more aggressive. But then I thought it was interesting. Eli Manning addressed the media this week and said, listen, we're not going to take chances. Listen, 27 interceptions last year.
Oh, yeah.
The interception to touchdown ratio is down this season because this is a team that's not playing as aggressive, but yet we did see them have success with an offense that's not necessarily aggressive. We talked about it being a quote-unquote dink-and-dunk offense in some regard. That was Christine, by the way. She's absolutely fantastic.
And she's absolutely fantastic. She's handing out paychecks. Where are you going? Christine, get over here.
She's one of our top-notch producers here at Giants.com. She's truly terrific. Graduate from UCLA. Anyway, so you know, I find it interesting. Reese is saying I want to see this offense be more aggressive. Another thing is, how can you be aggressive? You lose your starting running back in Rashad Jennings. He's not going to be back this Monday night against the Colts. Also, Victor Cruz, unfortunately, out for the season. So I think it's difficult, A, for this offense to be more aggressive, Feegs, as well as I kind of like what Eli Manning said. Like, listen, you know, this offense, we've had some success. I don't think being aggressive and taking chances is exactly gonna help this offense get better.
I think you have to look at the word aggressive and how you're using the word. And when I think you can take it
I
two ways.
I think aggressive, I think downfield.
Okay.
I think shots with Odell Beckham Jr. downfield, like, go!
I see a little bit of that, but I also see a little bit of the word aggressive meaning – let's make some plays. Let's be aggressive. Let's go up for the football. Let's run hard. Let's play aggressive, not passive. I think offensively what Eli is saying makes sense because they put this offense in to be effective and to be effectively able to throw the football at that 70% completion rate that Eli is trying to get to.
And he's just a little below, right? He's like 60.
Yeah, but I think that the offense is designed for efficient passing and efficient running first. But being aggressive will come when you have guys that can make plays and big plays. And so that's how I look at it as being aggressive. But there's nothing in my mind wrong with what Jerry Reese came out and said because it's kind of a shot down across the brow that, guys, listen, come on. We need to be a little bit more aggressive. And, it goes back to what I said, is how you really define aggressive. It's either passing the ball down the field or what I said. What I said could make no sense at all, but that's just how I see it. And then really, when you hear Jerry Reese talk, and I like to hear him talk because he's very honest and he assesses what's going on, he's hitting the nail on the head. We got to play better. We got to, you know, the offensive line's got to block better. So all that together, coming into the game on Monday night against the Colts, it has to be put together and moving forward one game at a time.
All right, we've got some calls on board. Again, keep them coming with you till 1 o'clock Eastern time here on Giants.com. You're listening to and watching. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Anyway,
because we had a situation here a couple weeks ago dire. No,
I'm,
you're okay.
I'm trying to get close to you so that we're in the.
Well, we're always in the picture.
Okay.
But I unplugged the whole show two weeks ago. Yes, I did.
That's so you feel.
I hit it underneath here. Everything went out, and I kind of quietly just plugged it back in, and we were online, what? I mean, not even 3 seconds later.
But that's so you.
And it is me.
It is really a klutz when it comes there. It's adorable, though.
That's fine.
So let's head out, and let's take some calls.
Okay. Yeah. Where are we going? Maryland?
And we kick it off. Lynn in Maryland.
Love it.
A show would not be complete. Without Lynn in Maryland. Lynn, welcome. What you got for us?
Hi, Lynn.
Hey, thanks, Anita. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
And, you know, it's nice to be on the front end. Usually, you know, I'm calling. I finally get through, and I'm on it, maybe a quarter to one. So it's fun to be first. looking forward to Monday night for a lot of reasons. It's a home game. Always love that. And, homecoming night. Going to see a lot of the guys who made history with us. It's fun. And, of course, the Strahan thing. So Monday night football is always exciting. So, I can't wait. It's going to be a great night. And I think we can win this game. I always think we can win, and that's probably why I keep the money in my pocket and don't try to gamble it away because I always think we're going to win. But I think we can. I think we can. We've done pretty well against 3-4 teams. They're not the best teams in the league, but if you look back, the offensive line has played its best against 3-4 teams. Now, the thing that worries me about the Colts, geez, I can't believe this. Their linebacker, I think their linebackers have 12 sacks. Linebackers, 12 sacks. Oh my gosh, I think our linebackers have. I think we got a half a sack.
You think they blitz a little bit?
Right. Listen, I want to make a, I commented a little early in the week. I guess it was Monday. Bye week, I guess the owners, people in administration, all the assistant coaches get a chance to talk. And, sometimes I just cringe.
You cringe at the bye week? Is that your
No. When I hear, when I, I, you know, the answer to the Giants' problems and getting to the playoffs is in that locker room. It's not in Jerry Reese's office. His job is done. Come on, Jerry, you gave us these 53.
Yeah, but he's saying in his press conference is, yeah, I gave you these 53 guys, and these are my guys I believe in. Let's go. You know?
Listen, leave Jeff. Leave it to Tom and the assistant coaches.
I understand
to get this
that.
Team ready.
I understand it. He had to do the press conference. He had to say what he had to say.
I know. That's why I say I hate the bye week that way.
Right.
Because these guys have to say something.
Well, he had to look better than John Isaac. So
no,
he got
no,
that going
got
for him.
No disrespect. I think anybody could have looked better than
Len, you could have done a better job than John Isaac.
I could have done a better job than John. I couldn't do a better job than Jerry, but I could have done a better job than John Isaac. You know, one other thing, Tom's comments yesterday about, you know, guys playing, you know, above the X's and O's. I want to refine that if I can, put that in my terms. Jeff, our bet and Anita, and I'd like your comment on this.
Oh, you're going to get it.
It boils down to our best players playing their best in big spots. You know, who's got more of a chance of playing above the X's and O's? Jason Pierre-Paul or Kerry Wynn? Kerry's a nice player, okay? Can't get a uniform on Sunday, but he's a nice. So, I mean, it's the better players, the guys we're paying the big money to. These are the guys we want to, you know, the core eight, the core ten. Now, we got some of those guys hurt. But those are the guys that I look to on Sunday afternoon, in this case Monday night, playing above the X's and O's. Those are our stars, guys.
Lynn,
they have to come through.
Lynn, thank you for that.
I know it's a team game. I know. You're going to be all that team game thing and all that stuff.
No, well, let me do this, Lynn. Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. And you make up you really bring up a great point, because it's actually something I wanted to throw towards Viggs today. And that is Tom Coughlin. If folks who are just tuning in, maybe you didn't hear the Tom Coughlin press conference yesterday, but Tom addressed the media and said that this team needs to play above the X's and O's. So I want to throw that your way, Viggs, because I think everybody can interpret that a different way. So I'm curious, someone who knows Tom Coughlin, who's been a part of this team, part of this organization, who's played professional football before, define playing above the X's and O's.
Well, I'll first define what X's and O's are. Those are your responsibilities. Those are your plays. Those are what you're supposed to do. That's why you study. You have a game plan. And then you go on the field on a Sunday or a Monday or whatever day you're playing professional football, and you execute the X's and the O's. What it means to play above the X's and the O's, and I think it's more pertinent to the veteran guys, and it's a lot like what Ken had just said. Those are the guys that have to go out and take it upon themselves to win the game in their mind on their own. Go up and make plays. Make plays above what it says in the X's and O's. However, caution. X's and O's are designed to do certain things. That doesn't mean that you be the Lawrence Taylor and just not pay attention to the defense or the offense and do your own thing. Do what's in the scheme.
Right.
And then do something extra. And get above the X's and O's and move and do something extraordinary to win a football game. I'm not talking about the next eight games. I'm talking about the game that's on Monday night. Above in the X's and O's, that's what Tom Coughlin, and he's asking his leaders on the football team to do that. And what will happen with that is when you do that with the leaders, it trickles down to the younger guys, and they start playing over the X's and O's. Also, maybe DeMontre Moore, someone like that, who can learn from a JPP and how he's playing above the X's and O's, and he goes out and has a game. DeMontre Moore, to me, is one of those guys, Anita. We've seen them. They are so young. They don't really
understand. He's only 22,
I know, and by really only his second year in the league.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know professional football yet, and a guy like that can go out there and he just doesn't have to. If he just plays the way he has to and in the confines of the X's and O's, he can be a good player, and they need him, because that was another name that got mentioned in the Jerry Reese press conference.
A guy that I want to see play above the X's and O's on Monday night?
Let me guess.
Please.
Offense or defense?
Offense.
You would like Reuben Randle to play above the X's and O's.
Heck yeah, baby.
Did I look at her?
No.
I just sense it.
It's
not only her.
Because you know me.
I know you, but I know that the fans and myself, we good minds think alike.
That's who I need. That's who I need. I need Ruben Randle to play above the X's and O's on Monday. That's who I'd like to see.
And you know what? How can he play above the X's and O's? Let's figure this out. How Ruben Randle can play above the X's and O's, and that's kind of like...
You want me to listen?
Yeah, I want you to ask me. Okay. I'm going to ask you the question. Okay, I'm the host now. And I'm here with Anita Marks. My name's Jeff Eagles.
I'm the analyst. I get to be the analyst for 5 minutes. How great is this?
How can we, or we can't get him to play the X's and O's. How does Ruben Randle get himself to play above the X's and O's, Anita?
A few things. The fact that Victor Cruz is no longer on the field and in that huddle, Victor Cruz needs to assume the leadership responsibility in this wide receiving core. And that means getting the guys focused, getting them pumped, getting them crumped on the sideline. That means really leading not only by emotion, but also by performance. It means being more physical on the line of scrimmage. I want to see him come out of his stance like a... I can't even. This is a family show.
How about
show.
A bat out of hell?
There you go. I want to see him be more physical. I want him to be physical with the corners. When we're rushing the ball, I want to see him in a part of blocking downfield, creating for Andre Williams downfield. I want to see him walk up to Eli Manning and say, "Look, I got this guy. This is the route that I can run. I know I'm going to be open."
Right.
I don't see that from him, and I want to see that. I want to see him become that leader. I want him to be that selfish wide receiver who's like, give me the ball. I want the ball. I need the ball. I'm open. Ugh. I want to see that.
You know how he'll get the ball?
That, to me, is playing above the X's and O's.
He'll get the ball, and they're trying to get the ball to Ruben Randle. You look at how many targets this guy has. Okay, they're wanting to get the ball to him, but Eli will have more
confidence.
Create
separation.
Yeah, thank you. Eli will have more confidence if he can run good routes and get separation, because Eli's not hanging on to the ball as long as he has in the past, and he's getting the thing out quick. Run your route right, and the ball will be there, okay? But the biggest thing about Ruben Randle, in my opinion, is he's a big guy. He's, you know, whatever, 6'3", it's big.
Des Bryant's a big guy.
Yeah, yeah.
There's big guys.
Who do you think benches more, Des Bryant or Ruben Randle?
Really?
I'm going to go ahead and say Des Bryant. I'm going out on a limb there.
But, I'm just saying there are big. I mean, look, Monday, Thursday night football last night. Did you watch the Carolina game?
No.
I don't know what the heck was wrong with Cam Newton, but Kelvin Benjamin is a beast. He's 6'6", 240. He's a big guy. He was open all night long, but Cam couldn't get the ball to him. I mean, there are big guys in the NFL that are athletic. Can get separation.
You have to.
And
it's the only way you're going to get separation, to be physical.
Yeah.
And Coach Coffin preaches it all the time. We must win the physical battle. We must win the physical battle. That doesn't just mean when you think about that, you're like, physical battle. What do you immediately think? The linemen. They got to be physical. No. Physical battle is, if you're a defensive back, be physical with the opposing receiver. Knock his butt to the ground, and that you can chuck the guy. There's not a rule against that. And if you're an offensive receiver, you can hit the guy there too. Just make sure you don't do it after 3 or 5 yards, but be physical. And they're going to have to, on the flip side of this, we're going to get away from what we were talking about a little bit. Defensively, the Giants are going to have to be physical on this receiver group that's coming into MetLife on Monday night, or Mr. Luck is going to just all over the place. So Ruben Randle, okay? No. Really?
What? I don't understand that.
Okay, Ruben Randle did, at this the combines, 225 15 times. And Dez, 225, 14 times.
Well, you stand corrected, my friend. It is Feegs Friday. Feegles Friday? Feegs Friday? I like Feegs.
No commercials.
Yep.
Just straight through 1 hour.
With you?
I know you probably want to be with us for 5 or 6, but we'll give you our best hour.
You're so funny. 201-939-4513. Let's continue with the calls. We've just talked about playing above the X's and O's.
That's what we're doing here today. We're way above the X's and O's.
We are. Let's go to Drew calling in from Virginia. Drew, what's up?
Hi, Drew.
Hey, Anita. Hey, Jeff. How you guys doing today?
Welcome, welcome.
Awesome.
Good, good. Hey, you know, going back to Jerry's aggressive comment, you know, I called in last week, and, you know, first and foremost, man, I think we would all love to see this offense get aggressive. I know I would. My comment is, you cannot get aggressive if your offensive line isn't doing what they need to do. Okay.
Sure.
I never believed that this offense would be a dink and dunk offense. I'm one that don't believe that. I'm also one that definitely would not want to see that. Eli's a great pass thrower, especially throwing the long ball down the field. So this is not a dink and dunk offense. I don't think it was built to be a dink and dunk offense. But to be aggressive, like Jerry Reese and everybody was saying, would be wonderful, provided your offensive line does what they need to do. And these last couple of games, that certainly hasn't been happening.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that the aggressiveness comment is only coming from the receiver position, or do you think that it all runs together with being, hey, offensively we have to be aggressive on the offensive line? And to me, to be aggressive down the field, you got to have an aggressive running game. The Giants have lost their running game since Jennings went down. So to me, it's a little bit hard to be aggressive when you can't run the football.
Well, and I said that, I actually said that to John and Lance last week when I called in. Okay, let me rephrase that. Monday when I called in. Exactly. You cannot get aggressive if you can't run, but if your offensive line isn't aggressive. So I don't understand, all of a sudden, Jerry Reese is coming out, with this, we need to be aggressive. Well, heck, okay, get us some players out there that can block for these people, okay? And yes, we did lose Jennings and everything, and so you kind of wonder, okay, well, maybe that's hurting us a lot too. But dude, two games, we couldn't do anything, okay? And not only that, man, this offensive line is making just some of the dumbest mistakes on the planet. I mean, really, man. So, aggressiveness comes from the fact that you have a good, solid offensive line, okay? And with regards to Eli and his comment, I'm with him. I don't think Eli wants to revert back to trying to make a play and putting up 27 interceptions. This offensive line has to do its job. And once again, if you realize, Eli did say that we still have people making the same mistakes over and over, which is also a comment he made last year when he was having a horrendous game. So I know he's not calling out no names, but there's some offensive line troubles there. Let me just say this real quick. Playing above the X's and O's, I agree with that. But to me, also playing above the X's and O's also instills in my mind that you got to stop making those dumb mistakes that I've been talking about. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the phone call.
Tell
me if it's not a double-edged sword in regard to, we're talking about being more aggressive and Eli throwing the ball downfield, and as we know, last season, 27 interceptions. And the main goal, right, coming in was his completion percentage at around 70%, if not better, and he's just a little bit below that. If they kind of resort back to the offense that the caller wants to see, then of course that completion percentage more than likely will go down. More than likely his interception to touchdown ratio will change. And
protection will change.
And on top of that, and this is something that's been discussed. I talked about this with Bob Papa yesterday, and a number of analysts have discussed this. This Giants team, for them to beat the Colts, for them to beat Seattle, for them to beat San Francisco, for them to beat Dallas, they can make no mistakes. This is not a team that can come in and has the talent and the ability to make mistakes and recover from them. No. In order for the Giants to beat a team, they need to have an A-plus game.
Sure.
In order for them to beat the opponents that they're about to face the next 4 weeks.
They don't have the playmakers. Not saying that the Giants can't have them, but they're not as powerful as what you're saying. You're exactly.
So isn't it kind of a double-edged sword?
Well, no question. I just think that, I think it's too much being put into the aggressive. I think that Eli hit the nail on the head. We can't just force being aggressive by just throwing the ball down the field. This offense was designed around what Eli and the personnel can do and the philosophy of the West Coast offense. You start with the run, and then the pass comes. What happened to the aggressive? I definitely saw the aggressiveness when the Giants were scoring 30 points. There was some aggressive I mean, you know, those are making big plays. Not to mention, they don't have to throw the ball down the field to be aggressive.
Well,
okay?
I mean, and just to interject here, I mean, that was the big reason why the Giants went out and drafted Odell Beckham Jr. He fits this offense.
Even though
Eli might just complete a five-yard out or a three-yard slant, the great thing about what Odell Beckham Jr. brings to the Giants is his yards after the catch.
And also, what sets up Odell Beckham? By the way, just go back a little history lesson. McAdoo was here first. Then Odell Beckham was drafted. And what Anita was saying is that they brought in Odell Beckham because two reasons. Number one, he's a outstanding speedster. He's a great receiver in college. But the West Coast offense is designed, run the ball, short little passes, and then you're going to set up the big play down the field, okay? Well, you know what? Reuben Randall hasn't been able to get down the field like Hakeem Nicks used to, okay? Cruz is not that type of a threat. Odell Beckham was your guy. Well, your guy is now in. This is only his third game coming in. So let's see how this is designed now to work and see if he can do it. Because, you know, it all goes back to me and Nita. I know we keep talking about the passing game and this and that. When the Giants lost Rashad Jennings and even Victor Cruz, but in my opinion, I think Rashad Jennings was a bigger loss than Victor Cruz. That's just my opinion, guys, okay?
I agree with you. I agree
and
with you.
And I think because of the system that we're in, that the Giants are in, the running game comes first, and you're seeing how difficult it's been the last couple of games with Andre Williams being young, running the football. He doesn't have patience. He's just a young guy. The guy wasn't expected to go in there and start games for the Giants this year.
Also, the way that Rashad Jennings was utilized in the passing attack
out
of the backfield.
No question.
Is just it's not a component. It's not an element that Andre Williams is bringing to the table to the way that Rashad Jennings did.
I think Andre Williams has caught maybe twice as many passes he's in his career at Boston College than he's in this year. I think he might have four passes. That's a good point because really not only the running game with Rashad Jennings, it's been the passing game that he's been utilized in.
All right, let's continue with our calls. Again, 201-939-4513. Nita Marks, Jeff Fiegels. It's Fiegels Friday.
Yeah.
How about that?
And it's Friday.
We're coming to you live from the Giants facility as we're hosting the show. Giants are practicing right now. After practice, they're going to be made available to the media, and a lot of those interviews will be posted on Giants.com. So
she's the media.
So
you're
the media now too, man.
No,
Come on.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, you are.
I've gone to the dark side. The dark side.
So make sure you tune into Giants.com throughout the weekend. A lot of the questions as the Giants answer the media, getting ready for Monday Night Football against the Colts.
And I will tell you, I use Giants.com. I mean, because you know I'm not down here like Anita and the other guys all week, and so I go on. What a great site! What a good chance to get caught up on what's going on during the week. I go and listen to all
the. Do you use the mobile app?
No.
Oh.
No. But maybe I should.
Yes.
But I'm just telling you that I get caught up on all the interviews, you know, the 2 minute, 90 minute, 2 minute drills, whatever
right.
It is. It's a great site to go to, not only for that stuff, but most importantly for 12 o'clock on Friday.
Have you seen the How Well Do You Know segments that I've
been
doing?
That is a fun one. That is a fun one.
So
those guys really need to start to learn their teammates.
We're doing Justin Pugh this week, by the way, so stay tuned for that. That's going to be up on Giants.com soon. How well do you know Justin Pugh?
I don't know him very well.
Well, I know you don't.
Oh.
I'm just saying that's the segment.
I thought that was a question.
It's coming soon. All right, let's continue with our calls. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Matt. Matt calling in from New York. Matt, welcome.
Matt.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
You're from East Islip. You got some lacrosse players
yes,
out
sir.
There. I know it. I know that
yeah.
East Islip, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Boomer Esiason, too.
Well, he's a hockey guy. At least he thinks he's a hockey guy. What's going on, Matt?
Nothing much, Anita. I know who knows Justin Pugh pretty well. It'd be Connor Barwin, but besides that, I don't want to bring that up anymore.
That's okay.
But anyway, I wanted to bring up again. I know, like Drew touched on the offensive line, and then I kind of wanted to just touch on the game, what it reminds me of with the offensive line. I mean, when Schwartz comes back, I mean, I don't think probably not this week, but when he does, what do you guys see the configuration being? Because I mean. With Richburg being a rookie, I mean, he has played fairly, well, but, I mean, you got to put Schwartz in because of his, obviously, they gave him a big track he has to play. And then just on the side, and I'll take your comments off the air, to me, I think this game reminds me a lot of the the Lions game in the first week of the season, only because of all the weapons that Andrew Luck has to work with. So in that sense, I kind of see that feel of the game for the Giants, at least from a defensive philosophy, looking at their offense. I just kind of wanted to see your take on both those things. So thanks, Jess.
Thank you for the phone call. Excellent question. I discussed this with Roman, I want to say a week or 2 weeks ago, that when Jeff Schwartz is healthy, because at that point in time, we were seeing success with this offensive line. When an offensive line is having success and they're gelling and the chemistry's right, do you really want to disrupt that?
Well, it's almost like, remember a couple of years ago with Deal? Remember when Deal was hurt and the offensive line was playing good and they were like, do we put Deal back in? And yeah, so it's kind of a tough go.
But I do believe that once Jeff Schwartz is healthy, I do believe he's going to get his starting job back.
When he's healthy.
Right.
Not this week.
No.
I don't think he's going to play this week.
No.
And I don't, you know, maybe. But, you know, you look at what happened with John Beeson and his toe. You know, I mean, it was a different injury. But, you
horrible.
Know, you just understand that when you're playing football at whatever level it is, when you have a problem with your toe, you got problems. You get stepped on. It's just not the same. You can't move right. So is a 95% Jeff Schwartz better than a 100% Richburg? I don't know. They didn't sign Jeff Schwartz for 1 year, by the way. He's going to be here. So, I mean, you want to make sure that you can put him back in the game when he's ready to go and play. But, Richburg is kind of – Anita, I think he's played okay for being a rookie and being in the system. I think that ultimately he's the guy that they want to interchange through there. But we'll see. They definitely got their work cut out for him. You know what? His other question was about he sees this game a lot like the
Detroit.
Lions game.
Right.
And their weapons. Well, I don't think that the Lions had any more weapons. I mean, I know that Calvin Johnson is above Dez Bryant, but look at the Cowboy game, okay? You got Dez Bryant, you got Williams, you got Jason Witten. I mean, you got DeMarco Murray. I mean, talk about weapons. They hung with Dallas the other day, this team. So to think that the Lions, and what I'm trying to say is I think the Giants have a chance here because they're at home. If there's ever kind of a warrior cry, it's the Michael Strahan getting his ring. I mean, maybe that gives the team a little bit of boost. The crowd can be in it. But like we said earlier, Anita, this team has to play really close to perfect football these next 4 weeks to have any chance of trying to compete to get in the NFC. Because really, you got to win the NFC East to get in the playoffs. There isn't going to be a second team coming out of this division.
I do have some concerns in regard to this matchup against the Colts on Monday night, and I'll list them for you. First and foremost, Ahmad Bradshaw and Hakeem Nicks coming back. Hakeem Nicks really has not done much.
He won't do much tomorrow night or Monday night
with the Colts, so I'm not really worried about Hakeem Nicks.
Me either. I agree.
But Ahmad Bradshaw, I've got some concerns. He's got 6 receiving touchdowns so far this season.
30-something receptions, right?
I get that the Colts are committed to Trent Richardson because they gave up draft picks for him to get him from the Cleveland Browns. But let's face it, Ahmad Bradshaw has run circles around Trent Richardson so far this season. He is the difference maker when he's in the game in that backfield. And he has something to prove. I mean, he came out this week and told the media that he was hurt that the Giants had let him go, that he still felt he had a lot of gas left in the tank. So I do believe he's coming in Monday night with a chip on his shoulder. I think he's got something to prove. And I do believe, even if the Colts start Trent Richardson, which they're saying they will, I do believe that Ahmad Bradshaw is really going to run extremely hard. So I'm worried about that. And the Giants have been suspect, have had when the matchup is against receiving running backs, it has not bode well for the Giants. Number two, Reggie Wayne, question marks whether or not he's going to play. He's dealing with an elbow issue. But this Dante Moncrief kid is unbelievable. A part of me hopes that Reggie Wayne is active and plays because I don't want any part of this Dante Moncrief. And I hope I'm pronouncing his last name properly. But this is a 4th-round draft pick for the Colts who because Reggie Wayne was inactive last week, got an opportunity and made the most of it. That is a big concern for me. Obviously, T.Y. Hilton as well. And the way that Andrew Luck utilizes not one, but both his tight ends, Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener, that's a big concern. This is an offense. Giants are going to have their hands full. And I know Dominic Rogers-Cromartie has had 2 weeks now. I know he's dealing with leg and back issues, but he's had 2 weeks to get healthy. And this team is going to need him on Monday night, Jeff.
Well, to start with the running back with Ahmad, you know, he's as tough as they get. And even to bring him down, you got to tackle well. And not only that, you got to cover him. But once you start paying attention to him, you got to pay attention to the other guys too, the guys that you mentioned. You know, the Fleener and the Allen, the tight ends, and then Moncrief, who, you know, I'll give him. He comes in for Reggie Wayne. Yeah, for Reggie. But you know, they didn't know much about him, and we'll cover him. But T.Y. Hilton, the guy scores. He doesn't score many touchdowns, but he gets 100 yards receiving every week.
Sometimes two.
Sometimes two. Yeah. If you're a fantasy person like Anita, you would be playing him every weekend.
Yep, pretty much.
But I think that from a game plan's perspective, that it's all going to be on both sides of the ball, in my opinion. I'm going to sum it up very easily. It's all in the trenches this game, offensively and defensively. Defensively, you look what the Pittsburgh Steelers did to Andre Luck last week. They got in his face. They put some pressure on him, okay? Then you look at what the offensive line did for the Steelers. They gave protection to Ben Roethlisberger, who then goes and throws for 5 miles. Give some time for Eli to stay in their pocket and make plays. And to me, that's where it's at. I think that Ahmad Bradshaw, I can't wait to watch him play. He was one of my favorite teammates, one of the toughest guys I've ever been around. The guy walked around all week in a boot and shows up and plays on Sunday and runs for 100 yards. Are you kidding me? I can understand his frustration when he left here, just like any Giant that has been a part of this organization leaves. It's very uncomfortable because that's how good this Giant organization is. They feel like it's a family. But in the long term and how things work in this business, good for him to go out and keep his job somewhere else and do what he's doing. Now, Ahmad Bradshaw, I hope you don't do well tomorrow night, but I like to watch you play. Because, you know, I'm the Homer Giants fan. There it is. Whatever.
This is, again, and feel free, I'm monitoring Twitter. Hit us up on Twitter at Giants, hashtag Giants chat. This is from Ben. He wants to know, what scheme or magic trick is Perry going to do to try to slow down Luck's passing attack? And you mentioned
I just said it.
Take a page out of the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they were able to do.
Yeah. How about that? Let's just win the war in the middle. Put some pressure on him. When you hit somebody in the face, I don't care who he is, Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw, Andre, you know, Luck, whoever. Andre Luck, right? No. Hold on.
Andrew.
Why did I say Andre? Gee
okay.
Whiz. I'm surprised you didn't hit me over the head.
Well, we understood.
But listen.
You said Luck.
You hit somebody in the mouth enough times, those become cumulative hits. It makes a difference to a quarterback. Trust me. I know. Not because I play quarterback, just because I saw when guys hit my quarterback in the mouth, the teams I played for, we didn't play well.
So. This is from Donald. How can anyone, including the Giants faithful, see anything positive from this team, Jeff and Anita?
How could anyone, including Giants faithful, see anything
positive from this team? Throw out something positive for Donald.
Well, we're young, right? We got some young players. And young players, not all of them step in and do things right. Larry Donnell, that's a positive. Do we even think that we would get anything out of the tight end position this year? No, we didn't. Now they've got almost 8-9 touchdowns, whatever the stats are.
I wasn't expecting anything from the tight end position.
So there's a positive.
So, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So there.
Biggest surprise for me this season. One of my biggest concerns going in and has been one of the biggest surprises. Can't say enough wonderful things about Larry Donnell. Here's from Dwayne. Above the X's and O's also means more than your personality. For example, Eli needs to speak up.
Nah.
Giants fans have to understand something. Eli is not – Eli is Eli.
You know the old cliche?
Eli is Eli.
You can't change a zebra's stripes.
Nope.
Right? And as long as I've known Eli, there's things that he does that nobody knows about, nobody sees or hears. His teammates get the message in the right way. The right way sometimes isn't being vocal on the sidelines so that the cameras are on you and you're sitting there watching him yell at people. It's different. And people are all different, and they understand that, you know, he takes so much time during the week to meet with his teammates and do things that nobody ever hears about. So, do you want to read that Scorpio one?
No, I don't.
Oh, we got some really good tweets and we got some really nasty ones too, but we won't go there.
It's a family show and I want to make sure I keep my job.
Yeah.
On Monday morning. 201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Jeff Feagles. It is Feagles Friday. Getting you ready for the Monday night football game against the Colts. You mentioned quickly Michael Strahan. Big.
Yeah. Celebration,
ring ceremony, halftime coming up. Wait, let me say this really quick.
Sure.
How about this? Been covering the Giants for 5 years. Monday night will be the first time that I am going to a Giants game as a fan. I'm going to be a fan. I'm going to be sitting. I got great tickets, 50-yard line, second row.
You're in the stands.
I'm going to be in the stands.
You're a fan.
I'm going to be a fan.
You're just not a fan in the stands.
Right. I'm going to be, you know what I mean. Not up in the press box, having to be really quiet, like it's a library, taking notes.
So are you going to wear somebody's jersey?
Hitting me. Did you see the offensive line pull? Did you see him pull? Did you see the block by Hanoski?
Just like she's hitting me now.
Yeah, that's usually how I watch a Giants game.
Come out of there with a bruise on your shoulder here.
See, you're sitting next to Paul these days, I could say.
Oh, I know. I think, Paul,
it's
if you
brutal.
Touch me one more time,
yeah.
I'm going to throw my pin at your head.
It's brutal. You walk away. You sit next to Paul Dettino in the press box. You walk away. You're like, you know, my mom asked me, who are you dating? Is he abusing you? So, but no, in all seriousness, I'm really excited. I've never attended the Giants because I've always had to work. So I'm really excited. I'm going to the Giants game. I got great seats, 50-yard line, second row. I'm going to be drinking beer. I'm going to be screaming and yelling.
I will tell you this. You know, after I retired, I actually became a Giants fan, and I did the same. Before I started to work for the Giants doing what I'm doing, that first year I got to be a fan. And I'd never been to a tailgate at a professional football game.
I know, a tailgate. I can't wait.
Right? And I'll never forget. It was so much fun that year after I retired. Other than the fact that the first game I went to was against the Bears, and I remember walking into the stadium, first game, walk in there thinking everything's going to be cool. And I sit in my seats, and what comes on is the AC/DC song to start the game. Lost it. Lost it completely, because when you hear that song, I'm getting goosebumps now.
Aww.
When you hear that song, you know it is time to play. When I heard that song, it was time to cry.
You're so funny.
I sat there, and that was the one point where my retirement hit me.
Right.
Never hit me before. I didn't cry about anything, this and that. But when I got into that stadium that day, it was like, oh, my God, this is like too much.
It's over.
And I left.
Really?
Yep. I left, and I said, I'll see you guys in the parking lot. And I went out there and watched it. And some guy had those guys, some of them, they just go to the tailgate. They don't even go into the game.
No.
They bring their TV.
Right.
They get their popcorn, their peanuts, their beers, their brats, whatever. So I walked out. There's nobody out of the parking lot. I see this guy over there with the TV. I'm like, hey, you mind if I watch the game? He's like, yeah, man. I'm like, Jeff Feagles. Like, what? So anyways, back to what you were saying, you're going to have a great time.
I know. I can't
wait.
It's
a lot of fun.
I can't
you get
wait.
To see what
so
fans get so excited about coming to football games.
And Michael Strahan, halftime?
You know, I think about, you know, the Hall of Fame, and people ask me all the time, hey, you know, do you think you go to Hall of Fame? I'm like, you know what, if my name is even just mentioned in the Hall of Fame conversation, I'm okay. But when I look at Michael Strahan and when he got announced that he was in the Hall of Fame, from that day on, how long you're in the Hall of Fame now. Then you go through all the, you know, up to that point, and then you get to the Hall of Fame, which we went to, or I went to watch him and Ray Guy and Aeneas Williams and Walter Jones, all my teammates, which was absolutely – and I look at that night, and which, by the way, a lot of people don't know this, but after the Hall of Fame is over, they have the players have their own tent. Okay, you get your own tent. So Ray Guy had his own tent. Aeneas Williams had his own tent. Well, by the way, so if this is Aeneas Williams' tent and all the other guys' tent, well, Michael Strahan's tent was like this, right? And it was so great because obviously the Giants were playing in the Hall of Fame game, and you go down to that, and I go down because I had to go to Ray Guy's tent. So I stopped in the Ray Guy's tent. I wanted to just go down to the Michael Strahan tent and say hello and this. And so I walked in. I was only there for like 5 minutes and see all the Giants people that we know. And just so happens that Michael had just walked in. And he walked up and there was a huge stage. And Michael gets up there and he says, hey, I want to make sure I thank everybody here for coming. I don't know where you came from or this and that. I'm not going to be able to say hello to everybody, but thank you so much. But there's one friend of mine I know that flew in for the game and for the induction, and I just want to introduce you to him. His name is Bon Jovi. And all of a sudden, the curtains fall, and Bon Jovi comes onto the stage. I'm like, get out of here. And I'm sitting there going, I got to go back to Ray Guy's tent that's this big, and Bon Jovi's in this one. You got to be kidding me.
That's
so
awesome.
It was, and then I look at what's going to happen here on Monday night with him coming into the stadium, and now he gets, this is the last one. This is the send-off. He gets his hardware. He gets his ring. And, you know, that, as a professional football player, aside from getting a Super Bowl ring, is the crescendo of everything, is to be able to have that Super or that Hall of Fame ring. And for Michael and all of his ex-teammates to be there this weekend, it's going to be a great experience. Hopefully, if you're going to the game, you can stick around at halftime and get there early before the game starts, because it's going to be a nice ceremony for him. And really, it's a great honor, and I'm just so happy to be able to say that I played with him and then be able to win that 2007 Super Bowl. We wouldn't have done it without him.
Great stuff.
There you go.
Thank you.
So there's your story.
Thank you for sharing. Okay. Thank you for sharing. I know we've only got about 15 minutes left on the show, so, and we've got a ton of calls. So let's try to really rock and roll.
All right,
through
here
them.
We go. Click them off.
You are so much. I love Feagles Fridays. 201.
We should call it Hang Time. Instead of Feagles Friday.
We
should call it Hang Time.
I like that.
We're hanging. This is Hang Time.
Did you?
We can call it whatever we want. It's our show.
So I know I'm going to date myself here. But when I first got in the business, I was covering the Miami Dolphins because I'm from the 305, and Reggie Roby was the punter. And besides him making phenomenal chocolate chip cookies that he would bring out to everybody, he would actually punt the ball and he would actually time
and a watch.
And he'd have a watch and he would time himself because that's how he would pride himself on hang time.
Well, when I was at the U, I used to go to the Dolphins game and watch him. And I used to bring my stopwatch and watch the hang times where Reggie Roby used to go. But let's get to the call.
So, what was your best hang time? That's what we're getting at. What was your best hang time?
Mine or his?
Yours.
My best hang time ever is 5.8 seconds.
And what was his?
Not 5.8 that I clocked that day, but I'm sure he hit 5.8s. But 5.8's up there, man.
Yeah.
That's
kind of. So you're a stud.
That's like space shuttle. Just it's up there that high.
I love it. That's good stuff. Let's go to Ethan in Washington, D.C. Ethan, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. What you got for us?
Hey, guys.
Hello.
First, Jeff, huge fan, by the way. We grew up watching you guys. We watched you punt. That's part of my Sunday half the time.
So you're the one that didn't go and get a beer at fourth down. I love you. That's awesome.
So anyway, I had a couple points I want to make. I'll be quick because I know you guys have been catch up on calls. But a couple weeks ago, when Jennings went down, I knew, obviously, the offense was not going to be the same. And everyone kept saying, it'll be fine. Andre Williams can hold the ball. He'll run, you know, whatever. Clearly, it has not been the same. I don't know if it's been the offensive line. It's been Andre Williams. It's been the loss of Jennings. So that, I think, is the main, you know, point, the biggest step in why the offense has failed in the last couple weeks. Except for Dallas, that was pretty good, actually.
Yep.
On the defensive side of the ball, it just doesn't seem – injuries just kill us every year, and it's this year especially. You know, Thurman goes down. His next man up is McBride, who plays amazingly as well as Thurman did. He goes down. Beeson goes down. You know, it's just domino after domino after domino. The team just needs to keep that momentum up. And with DRC injured, you know, Prince Mukamara had to go with Dez Bryant last week. And, you know, first half he did a good job, had an interception, but he can't, you know, it was hard for him to go one-on-one with Dez.
Hard for anybody to go one-on-one
yeah,
with Dez.
Yeah, except for Breland. I'm watching two nights ago. That was, or a couple nights ago. But anyway, my biggest point is with, you know, Schwartz coming back this week, Cruz is gone, obviously. Your biggest two weapons are Beckham and Randall with Janelle if he can hold on to the ball. What do you see with the offense? Like, what can you, you know, what does Manning have to do? Jerry Reese calls out saying, throw the ball deep more. Manning says, I like what I'm doing here. Let's not make errors. What do you do if you're Manning? You know, Beckham's caught three touchdowns. Ruben can catch seven passes in the game. You know, Danelle fumbles the ball twice a game. What do you do if you're Manning?
Thank you for the phone call, by the way.
You keep doing what you're doing if you're Manning, because I tell you, he's having a good year. But you have to get back to what we talked about earlier, and that's if you're one of these players, and I hate to keep saying it, but the X's and O's, let's just eliminate the X's and O's part of it. Let's just be a professional. let's get in the playbook and let's just want to go out there and do something to help your team win. And that's whether if you're not in the play, like Anita said, and you're a Reuben Randall and you're not in the play, block downfield. That's a good one, okay? If you're, you know, on the defensive side, if you have to be somewhere and it's your responsibility, get there. Stop making excuses. If you're a young guy, grow up. These are kind of the things that I see that the Giants have to do, okay? If you're Eli Manning, just keep playing the way you are and then expect that the other guys are going to do what they're supposed to do and you'll be okay. Bottom line to me, I agree with you. It starts up front. It starts with the running game. I think if this isn't just the Giants, this is all the other 31 teams in the league. If you can run the football, it sets up for everything else. Right now, the Giants haven't been able to do it, and until they do it, this offense is not going to be able to be aggressive. How about that? There you go.
Wow. Very impressive.
That's how you tee it up.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Ann calling in from Virginia. Ann, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello.
I'm going to direct this call to you, Anita, because I don't feel it's fair. Every time I call up, and I'm a fan, every time I call up those guys on there, Lance Meadow and the rest of them, they tend to try to make fun of me. Oh, she's on meds. I'm just the same. And when I see something wrong, I'm going to call it out. And so I don't like that. So I'm just going to direct – I just want you to answer one question for me.
Sure.
And I'll direct it to you. And as a woman, I'm entitled to have my opinion.
Absolutely.
And so as I look at the New York Giants, to me, I think that after looking at Amar Bradshaw being used in the passing game on screens and the Giants never used him that way, I think it's up to the coaching staff to put the players in the best position to win games.
They used Amar Bradshaw on the screen. Yes, they did.
Let me finish, and okay. That's what I mean. Every time I say something, because I am critical, I do not like Tom Coughlin's philosophy. I think the team plays buttoned up, and I think, yes, they would play more above the X's and O's if he would get – and you can tell me, why does he have a headset on his ear? Because I think it's a direct line to the quarterback. And I want him to back off of Ben McAdoo and let him call the plays. And then the second thing, I'm going to get off of here because I want you to explain why Coughlin has the headset. But before I get to that, same with Perry Field. I sat there and looked at the Redskins, dial up all types of exotic blitzes with rookie players. And I don't understand. I don't care. You take the risk, and Jerry Reese is right. I don't understand why Perry Field doesn't do that, like safety blitzes and things like that. But I'm going to get off. And can you explain to me why Coughlin, and explain to the audience why Coughlin has a headset on, while McAdoo has one.
Well, a few things, and you know, please feel free. This show is for the fans, so
yep.
So you should be able to call in anytime, and regardless of gender, you are entitled to your opinion, especially if you're a Giants fan and you're committed to watching the team and you cheer the team on. So that's first and foremost. Second of all, I have to say that you're wrong in regard to the way that the Giants utilized Amad Bradshaw while he was here. They did utilize him out of the backfield in the passing attack, especially in screens. He was the best, really, he was the best out of all the running backs that were here. He was the one who really ran the screen the best out of everyone. Now, are the Colts utilizing him more so than the way the Giants did?
Maybe.
Well, yeah. They are. Yeah. They are. I don't remember a time that Amad Bradshaw had 6 receiving touchdowns while he was a Giant.
No.
But we're comparing apples and oranges here. He was still utilizing the passing attack out of the backfield.
That's catch the ball.
That's first and foremost. Also, in regard to the headset that Tom Coughlin is wearing, Tom Coughlin is wearing a headset so he can hear everything that is being communicated. The headset that Tom Coughlin is wearing allows him to hear the plays that McAdoo is calling in for Eli Manning. The headset that he is wearing allows him to hear the plays that Perry Field is calling in for whoever is wearing the headset, whether it's McLean or Roll or whoever is wearing the headset. He is on top of all the communication that is going on. Ben McAdoo is calling this offense. Tom Coughlin is not calling this offense. So this isn't a matter of why is Tom – well, every head coach pretty much wears a headset because they want to be on top of all the communication
Sure.
that's going on. Also – if there's a play that that they're possibly he should throw a flag on, he's got a crew upstairs who's watching film telling him, throw the flag, Tom, throw the flag, or
throw
no.
Throw the flag now.
Yeah, you know, so it's more of a communication device for him to hear everything as opposed to anything else. That's number two. And last but not least, she made an interesting point. You know, there are two different coaching philosophies here. One is, this is my system, and this is how it works, and this is how it's run, and I'm going to take this player and put this player here, and I'm going to take this player and I'm going to put this player here, and even though this is not a system that Eli Manning is used to, I'm going to plug him in here because he's the quarterback. And then there's the other philosophy where an offensive coordinator will come in and say, okay, well, I've got this guy who does this well. I've got this receiver who does that well. This running back runs better through the tackles than he does outside. I've got a tight end who's more of a receiving tight end than a blocking tight end, and then builds an offense around the talent that they have. One is not, you know, wrong. You know, it's just, there's just different philosophies.
Sometimes one works better than the other.
It does.
And it depends on your personnel, and it depends on your philosophies.
And
you
here,
mix the two.
And here, Ben McAdoo came over because the Giants really liked the scheme that the Green Bay Packers were utilizing and running. And so he's brought that West Coast offense, but I do believe it's been tweaked because to fit what Eli's comfortable with.
Sure.
But this is a system that is now here, and the players that are here have been really...
They have to adapt.
Yes.
And it takes time. When you look at this offense, what they did the first 2 weeks of the regular season, those first 2 weeks of the regular season were their first 2 weeks of the preseason. I mean, these guys collectively only got to play three quarters together throughout the whole preseason, and you're expecting a brand-new offense, a brand-new coordinator, all new personnel to come in and just execute at the highest level. It didn't happen. But then you get into the Arizona game and you start seeing some progress, and then they start winning some games. Then they take a step back against Philadelphia, which that was an aberration. You know, one of the things is you're never as good as your best game you played, and you're never as bad as the worst game you played. So you look at those two games, and really, I think this Giants team, it's going to be tough for them to win. They can't, I'm not saying they can't, but they got to play good. And as far as is what you were saying, Anita, on the philosophies, is that you have to, when a new guy comes in here, it's up to the general manager. You just can't come in and, well, they do it sometimes. If you run a 4-3 and all of a sudden they come in and change a 3-4, there's guys going out the door because they have to find guys to replace some of those schemes that they're doing. So I think that the Giants saw that this system could work for Eli because one of the motivators was that, hey, let's get his percentage rate up and let's get some guys around him that can make some plays in the short passing game. And that was Odell Beckham, that was Victor Cruz, and Reuben Randle.
All right, so about 2 minutes left in the show
two
today.
Two minutes, just like in the basketball games.
It's been Feagles. How about LeBron James last night? What happened there?
You know, it's.
Did
I
you
guess,
see that?
I guess, he's going to have a bad season.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, my goodness, come on.
Wow. Anyway,
oh well.
2 minutes left in the show, and so I'm going to throw it to you to tee it up. What are the three things that need to happen on Monday night for the Giants to win this game against the Colts, Figs?
I think that they need to get Luck into some situations where he can make some mistakes. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes, but I think some turnovers, one. Number two, in all three phases, something's got to come out of these three phases, and a big play. A punt return for a touchdown, a interception return for a touchdown, a run for over 23 yards, which is, by the way, the Giants have not had one of those all year, okay? They've only had two pass plays over 30 yards. Give me a big play in one of those three phases of the game. And I think the third one is you got to play hard. I mean, when the physical battle in the trenches, like I said earlier in the show, if you weren't on here with us, I think this game is won between the tackles, offensively and defensively for the Giants.
Fantastic.
That was my short 1.5 minute.
All right. Hey, it's been a fun Friday.
You too, Anita.
We're going to sign off, grab some lunch, and, of course, as soon as the Giants are made available to the media, we will be interviewing them later on this afternoon. And, again, stay tuned to Giants.com for all their responses. And, of course, make sure you tune in to Lance Meadow and Jeff Feagles on Monday for your pregame show. Are you going to be on WFAN? Or
we will be on FAN. Yep. So actually, we're going to be out in front of the stadium.
Oh, there you go.
Hopefully we're not freezing like we used to.
So make sure you head out and you visit them at the stadium. That's by the Verizon Gate, right?
It's right by the MetLife entrance there, yeah.
Fantastic. So everybody have a fantastic weekend. And, hey, I'm actually – I'll come see you.
Come through the gate. Bring your beer, hold it up, spill it on your
– I am. I'm going to come see you Monday night. Fantastic.
Enjoy the game, everyone.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Well, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.